You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Spend my dollar.
It's not about what you want. It's about what you're willing to do to get it. Run it again.
Hello and welcome.
I'm not going to, so quit asking.
When you give me a hard time.
For the listeners that didn't get to go.
This is the payback.
Alabama wins!
What you did last year really doesn't matter.
Our goal is to have the kind of team that nobody wants to play.
Hi.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Alabama Football Podcast. And Tide fans, have we got a treat for you. We are interviewing again Tommy with Talking Tigs. Many of you will remember we interviewed Tommy last season leading up to the interview game. It was a phenomenal interview, very insightful. Tommy is, and a lot of information what he was able to share about the Tigers. Great conversation. Really genuinely enjoy talking with Tommy. So I'm confident that you guys will enjoy it as well. On to the show. Go.
Well, welcome back, Alabama fans, and have we got a treat for you. We have Tommy back again this year with Talking Tigs. Tommy, how are you?
It is great to be with you. I'm excited to be welcomed back for a second year, and I'm ready to chop it up. This is one of the best games of the season, especially for us. I know we don't really factor it as the number one rival for y'all, but for a school that really has one flagship school, you know, like Alabama week is as close to a big rivalry, you know, as we often get.
It's just, I guess, the nature of it. We do have a couple of rivals, and there's sort of factions within the fan base. Obviously there's Auburn, Tennessee, but there's a healthy faction within the fan base that views LSU is one of our top rivals, and sort of with that with Auburn, I think it's just kind of hate, and with Tennessee, it's a little kind of something. With LSU, I think there's a little side eye respect there, kind of thing. It's a different every rivalry of those three. It feels a little different. There's a little something different about it, and certainly it is a big week. LSU week is always a big week. And we shared a bye this week, and all that does is sort of inflate, the excitement and energy and expectations. But, before we jump into all that, why don't we go back a little bit in the time machine and, check our watches and our clocks and our calendars. About a year ago, you and I did this, leading up to the game, and a lot has changed at that time. In some sort of form or fashion, Ogeron was sort of on the way out. Mm-hmm. And we talked a little bit about Napier and who was going to be the coach and, maybe some other candidates. And, here we are, fast forward, Brian Kelly's firmly entrenched in the position. I don't know that he was on anyone's radar when we spoke last year. So kind of talk, there's sort of the evolution of the seasons, right? He's announced. Go through recruiting, the off season, and kind of here we are. What was the thought process, the evolution, if you will, across the fan base with how has that gone with Brian Kelly so far?
I mean, I think that initially, you're right. It was not a name that many people had even thought of. He was not on the radar. At the time when we were speaking last year, Mel Tucker was a thought. Lincoln Riley came in strong at the end. Everyone pretty much thought, man, it's gonna be Lincoln Riley. He's it's the age old thing of tracking private jets, looking at tail numbers, and tail numbers were heading from Norman, Oklahoma to from Baton Rouge to Norman and back. So You know, people were thinking about Lincoln Riley. I was excited about the potential of Lincoln Riley. And then of course, Jimbo Fisher, who, famously is, you know, almost best friends with Scott Woodward, the AD here. They go fishing at the same camp in South Louisiana. You know, Jimbo has been at LSU before. A lot of people thought, okay, that's the obvious pick. And then of course, like you said, we talked about Billy Napier, who was due to get a big time D1 or SEC job, especially after the success that he had at UL. So you're right. I remember where I was sitting in my living room when the announcement was made that Brian Kelly. I honestly thought it was I was like, oh, this is a gag. Like, you know, this is just a meme, because you know you can make that, you make those sure. announcement memes all the time. And so I saw a funny one actually yesterday or 2 days ago when Harsin was fired. I saw one of Bill O'Brien as the Auburn coach, and I saw some Alabama people saying good, because we don't want him either.
Right.
But anyways, so yeah, but I think that when the news settled in, and it wasn't, I would say it wasn't as splashy a hire as maybe like a Lincoln Riley would have been. But when news settled in and you realize, man, we're getting one of the winningest coaches. We're getting a coach that's gone to the playoff multiple times, who's, you know, played in national championships, never won one, and has, you know, led one of the most iconic programs in college football for over 10 years. I mean, you can't, that's a huge pull. And it was off people's radars, because you kind of thought, well, no, he's staying. You know, that's like saying, yeah, we're going to take Bobby Bowden from Florida State. Like, you just don't think it would happen. But then once you kind of get in the nitty gritty of it, and he arrives in Baton Rouge, and especially after that bowl game, we lose a ton of people to transfer portal. I mean, for the listeners who maybe haven't watched a ton of LSU this year, if you look at the game we're going to watch on Saturday compared to in the roster that we're going to put out on Saturday compared to the roster we put out a year ago, it's totally different by every stretch of the imagination. Names, schemes, coaching, everything, you know, philosophy, what we're going to try and do. I mean, and some of the players that you recognize that from last year will actually be in jerseys for your team.
That's right. We've got one.
We'll probably be starting against us. And, you know, so we've had that happen multiple times this season. So we were down to just a handful of scholarship athletes by the end of bowl season last year. It was really looking bleak as far as recruiting was kind of, I wouldn't say it was falling apart, but we had a little bit of a shakeup in the early recruiting, the early signing day when O was fired and then Kelly came in. He didn't really get a chance to connect with some of those recruits right before that December early signing day. But as time got on, you know, he really seemed to pick it up on the recruiting trail, and he put together a good staff. He really seemed to understand the importance of Louisiana and the of course, you know, the national media will go after him for being an outsider, and the famous family, you know, accent thing. But internally, and I think if you talk to people around Baton Rouge, around the program, you'd hear that he understood. I mean, this is not a guy who's this is not his first time running a huge program, and I think he has a lot of respect for the SEC and for what each of these institutions mean for their area. And because of that, you've seen him go off and hire Frank Wilson, who's one of the most prolific Louisiana recruiters, Cortez Hankton from Georgia, who's a New Orleans guy, just to name a few. If you look at this support staff, specifically in the recruiting area, it's very Louisiana heavy. Yep. Which for a guy for me, that's a good thing.
It is. You can win. You can pull from Louisiana and you can win. Was there a moment, because fit was a question, you know, that press or that sort of basketball game where he's sort of freelancing there, was there a moment, and the media sort of grabbed onto that, and it was funny. Was there a moment where maybe the fan base thought he was trying too hard?
I don't know if, you know, I don't, to be honest, I didn't hear the family that bad. Like I didn't hear him putting on it some crazy, you know, it wasn't like, hey y'all, here I am. I'm
right. Right, you know, right.
It didn't sound like that to me. So I think people laughed about it. I think what actually made the fan base feel a little bit more cringe was the dancing.
Yeah.
When he was dancing with recruits.
Yes.
But I mean, one thing that you have noticed, and I've heard this from a lot of people who have been around the program and kind of seen, and then we mentioned before we start recording that there are some strong Notre Dame ties in South Louisiana. So, you know, people who are familiar with Notre Dame as well, this is somewhat of a different Brian Kelly. In Notre Dame, he had to be very buttoned up. Yep. No one's bigger than the Golden Dome at Notre Dame. No one's bigger than the institution. And that trickles down to football from what I heard. And so, you know, he had to always, he was just another employee basically of the institution. Here he's been, from what I've seen, he's been able to unwind a little bit, loosen it up. He can dance. He's making enough money to where he can kind of do whatever he wants too. So, right. And I think as we've seen, you know, if he can put a good product on the field, I think that's fit for rabid LSU fans, for people who pay attention to this sport like me and you do. I mean, I don't know if anyone would question Nick Saban's fit in Alabama, even though he's from West Virginia.
Yeah, you know, you take a coach like Kelly, clearly a very good coach. You can go back to his career, and it's been upward, you know, trajectory. You know, he's number of years at Notre Dame. Had quite a bit of success there, a program that has, you know, probably as many disadvantages as advantages, got him into the playoffs a couple times, into the national title game. And I just have this sense that Brian Kelly is sort of saying, I want to go to a program and that I know can run, right? I know it has an engine. I know it has a motor. I know it has more than maybe where I was. And I want to fire this baby up and see what it'll do. And that's sort of the sense that I have. And it looks like as the season has progressed, the team has followed an upward trajectory as well. Talk about that a little bit.
So I think you're totally right. And this is something we've on my podcast, Talking Tigs, you know, we talk about LSU every week, and we obviously football pretty much commit. We talk about football every week, no matter if it's in the season or not. I think that's something that LSU fans have been struggling to grapple with really since, to be honest, since the former coaches, as my mentor Tommy Karam says, talking about Nick Saban, he refers to him as the former coach. After he left, how much does LSU get you? Like how many wins, we'll just say wins or success, does LSU as just a brand and as just a program get you? And how much of that is coach? Because, you know, if we were having this conversation 10 years ago, I'd be talking about a Les Miles coach team who just played and lost to y'all in a national championship game. You know, we were about to play in, or a year ago, no, 11 years ago, we would have played in the Armageddon game, 9-6, the legendary game everyone likes to point to. And, you know, I think there are a lot of LSU fans who would have said, we might not have the best coach in college football, we have the second best. Well, then, and he, you know, he's had all the stats. He was the winningest, I think, with the, you know, outside of Saban, or all kinds of these, you know, weird stats of how good he was. And then it kind of didn't really happen. And then we got, then we, you know, moved on, fired him, moved on to Orgeron, who I don't think anybody would have predicted. I mean, we tried to get Jimbo, whiffed, tried to get Tom Herman, whiffed, and ended up with Orgeron. And then we, lo and behold, we end up having a little bit of success and win a national championship. But then 2 years later, we're in the dumps. And so I think that, and what we've really been trying to grapple with is, and I think that what a lot of LSU fans are realizing is LSU is going to have success and be able to attract talent, whether it's Brian Kelly, Nick Saban, Les Miles, or me and you running the program. Kids from Louisiana want to come here. I mean, Mike the Tiger Stadium. It's Saturday night in Death Valley. There's just something that this program has, in the same way that Alabama and Bryant-Denny Stadium have it. The Swamp at Florida has it. There's a handful of programs. Ohio State has it in the Midwest. Clemson is I would say Clemson is there. Maybe a little bit, you know, it could fall off a little bit, but Clemson's still a top tier team.
Sure.
And so what we're really excited and what I'm excited for, and I think you're seeing it as LSU has progressed this year, is what can that standard of, you know, kind of what you can expect from LSU, what can that turn into when you have excellent coaching, not good, right, coaching, not okay coaching. And I think we've seen the progression of that. We've seen as he installs a process of how he wants to do things, the amount of improvement that I've seen from Florida State to today, it's really remarkable. I don't know if many other coaches that could do that and make it look so good. So I think we're really excited about that.
No, I think that's phenomenal. And it's come through, you know, even just on, you know, the television, you can see that the play and the effort, you know, has improved and progressed. You know, that Tennessee game was a real low point, but it's almost a significant, but it's almost like that was a crucible moment because it seemed, and I don't watch every snap of every LSU game, but I try to look at it, you know, a little bit every Saturday. And just the discipline, the effort, the tenacity, the last couple of weeks has really been significant. And Saban said it this week in his press conference. Now, he always, you know, sort of says something nice about our opponent, and that's fair. But you know, when he talks about LSU playing some of the best ball in the country right now, I think he's right. I think, you know, there's a couple of teams I might put in that category, but LSU's right there, you know, in the mix. Talk about, you know, probably a player, an individual player that has as much to do with that as anyone. But Jaden Daniels, the quarterback, transfer from Arizona State. It doesn't always sound good when a fourth year guy's playing like a freshman, but he was a lights out freshman, and then sort of COVID sort of almost derailed his career, and his numbers are getting back, and they're going to exceed what he did when he was sort of an All-America level freshman out there, and he's doing it, you know, in the SEC. Talk about Daniels and what he brings to the table.
Yeah, I mean, going into the season, the big quarterback was one of the big questions. Our starter last year, Max Johnson, transferred out, and is now, you'll now see him. I think he's on the sidelines for A&M right now because he's injured, but he started a few games for A&M this year. You know, losing him was a big blow, we felt, at the end of the season. And then we ended up losing Miles Brennan, who was kind of the long-term guy, had been here since before Burrow was here and paid his dues and then evidently didn't win out. And then we end up picking up Jaden Daniels, which, you know, I think that for kind of real college football junkies, you knew of him basically because of that freshman season you mentioned. I remember he was lighting the world on fire at Arizona State. But like you said, after those 2 years, I mean, you know, 2 years after his freshman year, for 2 years, he was just not the player we saw. And so I think there's a lot of going in, you know, picking him up, there's a lot of interest, a lot of intrigue of, okay, like, you know, this guy could play maybe, but it's also, you know, who knows what he's going to do. And he ended up winning out the quarterback battle against Garrett Nussmeier. There are a lot of people down here complaining when it was first announced.
Sure.
A lot of people saying, I just don't know, he's not going to be the guy. And even after the first couple games, we want to see Nussmeier. And then I think game three, Nussmeier comes in because Jaden got a little bit injured. And you saw, okay, it was a clear victory, right, in the quarterback battle. I don't think anybody's questioning Jaden Daniels now. He really has been phenomenal. He's been, you know, the thing that I try to temper everyone's expectations and temper everyone's kind of thoughts of is he's not going to be a pick you apart. He's not going to be a Burrow. He's not going to be a Mac Jones or a Bryce Young, but that's okay. He really has an incredible skill set. He's one of the fastest players probably in the SEC in the open field. And yeah, I mean, he's been able to avoid big hits and kind of and play his game and make the throws when he needs to, but also make great plays on his feet. And I'm glad that we're embracing that and you know, LSU's benefiting from him.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there was a moment, you know, Jaden Daniels coming in and
I was like, I remember there being a Jaden Daniels, but it can't be the same guy because it just, you know, 4 years in college football feels like forever. And but that COVID sort of I think really sort of messed with his with his career in Arizona State and, you know, the Pack and whatnot, how they played out. But he is really, I hesitate to say resurrected, but maybe that's the right word. He really is having a phenomenal season. He's considered a junior, and I think the COVID year, and so great opportunity for him to come back and really build out his career. But you talk about his versatility and how he's used. You know, I want to talk about the running game, but we have to talk about Jaden Daniels in the running game too. He's LSU's leading rusher.
Yeah.
So talk about not quarterback Daniels, but maybe the running back Daniels, and then sort of who else does Alabama need to watch out for toting the rock?
I mean, I think that, yeah, as far as threats on the ground go, it's Daniels is our number one threat. But the thing that is really great about him is that when he's able to run, he's able to open up the running game for some of our other threats. And, you know, a guy, my favorite running back on this team right now is a guy named Josh Williams. Now, I'm a little bit of a sucker for like the walk-on who, you know, grinds it out, and that's him. He was a walk-on 2 years ago, and a lot of guys, even in Baton Rouge media, were saying, you know, he was getting touches. He's gotten consistent touches for the past, you know, 3 years, but a lot of people were saying, why is he out there? Come on, we've got John Emery, the five-star. It needs to be him. It needs to be, last year it was Ty Davis Price. It needs to be these guys. Why is Josh Williams, you know, getting a share of these carries? But I think if you've watched any of LSU football, especially this year, you see the reason is because not only can he run, he can also catch, but most importantly, he can pass protect. And so he's a guy who I look for. I think that he reminds me of Clyde Edwards-Helaire in that he's just a grinder. He's willing to do it all. And I like the way he runs between the tackles. He doesn't run scared. He runs downhill. And so, and he's had a very successful games this year running. But I think it works in tandem with him and Daniels, just off the option. And then a little RPO game as well, but also just the fact that, you know, the linebackers and safeties, they have to key both of them. You know, they're not just looking at, okay, if we're here to run the ball, it's going to be Josh Williams. So I like him. Armani Goodwin is coming off injury. He should be available. He's another good one. He's been a little bit off and on this year. And then of course injury as well. And then John Emery is really the enigma because, like I said, he was a five-star recruit out of Destrehan, Louisiana, very highly touted. One of the fastest players, you know, was going to be the next guy, the next LSU running back, the next Leonard or, Darius Geis or whoever, take your pick really. But it just hasn't panned out. And he hasn't had a great season this year. He hasn't really toted the rock as much as we hoped. A lot of people thought this was going to be his breakout year, but what you've seen, I think it was, maybe most notable in the Florida game, but he shows flashes. And so, you know, he's a guy who, You could see him on a halfback screen, and he runs off for 60 yards and runs and scores a touchdown just because that's how talented he is. He's just not as stable. And so this, you know, if I'm an Alabama fan, from my perspective and what we talked about on my podcast, I think that for LSU to have a chance in this game, Josh Williams needs to have a solid game. He doesn't need to go off and, you know, over 100 yards and 3 touchdowns or something like that, but he needs to have a very respectable, solid game where y'all have to respect his running ability. So I think that's someone I look for in the run game. And then of course, I think it goes without saying, you can just look at the stat sheet. Jaden Daniels is going to be an important. He's got to run well too.
It's right. Is Emery healthy? I think Kelly said something on the SEC teleconference about Emery maybe being a go this week. What's the latest you've heard on his health?
I've heard he is that he is healthy. I mean, they practiced. I just checked it. They practiced yesterday. So, it seems like they are going to be available. both Emory and Jack Besh, who's another one we'll get into. I'm sure we'll get into wide receivers. But Emory, I look for him to play. But again, how much? I don't know. I think that when the offense takes the field for the first snap, I think Josh Williams will be the guy there.
Mike Rowe here with a few thoughts on my favorite sweatshirt, a classic zip-up hoodie that used to be navy blue but has since faded to what the fashionistas call a distressed indigo. It's 13 years old, soft as a flannel bathrobe, and after a few hundred dirty jobs, demonstrably and undeniably indestructible. This is the kind of sweatshirt girlfriends like to permanently borrow, but I've held on to this one because I got it from American Giant. American Giant makes all their stuff right here in the USA, so they can control every link in their own supply chain. That matters, because when you buy American Giant, you not only get great quality, you create jobs for people in factory towns all over the country. No pressure, but if you give a damn about the business of making things in America, you got to support the companies who are doing it right. Go to American-Giant.com/Mike to get 20% off your first order. That's American-Giant.com/Mike.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
You know, I do want to transition to wide receiver, and I want to talk about, starting about Kayshon Boutte. And hopefully I'm saying that not too terribly wrong. When I think about, the storyline, we talk about Kelly, coming in from Notre Dame, and he's a little bit of a taskmaster coach and the program, down on its luck, you want to say. And Jaden Daniels comes in, a transfer, a reclamation project. And then you've got sort of the star wide receiver on the team that might be a little bit aggravated and a little bit frustrated. Maybe he's going to transfer, or maybe he's not, and maybe he's not bought in, and maybe he is, and all that. This starts to sound like a Hallmark made-for-TV movie, right? So how does this sort of all sort of conspire? It looks like everyone's sort of nodding their heads in the right direction now. But talk about Kayshon, and there's some other potent weapons there on the receiver core as well. Malik Nabers is putting up some numbers, Jarae Jenkins and Brian Thomas putting up good numbers as well. And I remember I think he's a five-star. There was a good recruiting battle between LSU and Brian for him. And all of a sudden, that looks like a pretty solid receiving core.
Yeah, I mean, I think that going into this year, the receiving core was probably our most talented kind of position group. Maybe you could argue defensive line as well. But of course, after week one with Mason Smith getting out for the season with an ACL tear, it's kind of null and void. Yeah, the wide receiver issue, the wide receiver group has really been interesting, and especially like you said, kind of teasing the back and forth with Kayshon and Brian Kelly. And I have to say, I'm totally pro Kelly on this. I think that, from what I've heard, Orgeron was, and you hear this, from all over, that players love Orgeron because he was a player's coach.
Sure.
And he was all, and I think that he was a very star driven coach as well. If you're a star, you kind of got to do whatever you wanted. Because if you make the plays on the field, more power to you. Kelly's not that way. It's not how he operated at Notre Dame. You probably couldn't operate it that way at Notre Dame because,
right,
the star level at Notre Dame is a little bit different than maybe, the star level at LSU.
Yeah.
And so there was a big transition period for the two of them. I remember, iconically, one of his first press conferences, they asked him, well, how is your relationship with Kayshon Boutte? And he goes, well, I know his first name's Kayshon and his last name's Boutte. there were a lot of LSU fans who were, you know, like, oh my gosh, this is terrible. He's not even talking to our best player. But I think it showed in the first couple of games, you know, from what I heard, he wasn't prepared to practice. He was nursing an injury all through the offseason and then was missing practices and not going to like the mandatory things that he was supposed to be at because of injury. Right. It's definitely been, you know, growing pains for him, but I think it was after the Ole Miss game, I guess it was after the Tennessee game when LSU lost, like you talked about. Kelly mentioned in a press conference that, you know, Kayshon has really kind of stepped up and that he's become that leader that we want him to be. And he's on the right page. Yeah. And he understands. I mean, to be honest, he is playing for his, especially at this point, he's playing for his draft status.
Yeah.
You know, going into the season, he was touted as maybe the best receiver in college football. I wouldn't have him as my best receiver right now. No. On a draft board. He's got a lot on the line, but I think also it's good that, you know, he's definitely kind of maturing into that leader that we need him to be in the home stretch of this season. And I look for him to have a big game. He's been the star here on our receiving corps for 3 years now.
Right.
But like you mentioned, I mean, I think Malik Nabers is really the one. He seems to have the best connection with Jaden Daniels, you know, okay. In the same way that I you might equate it to this. When Burrow was here, Ja'Marr Chase was the big play guy. Obviously, if you watch him with the Bengals, I mean, Ja'Marr Chase and Burrow, they're the best. But if you watched LSU that 2019 season, Burrow's security blanket was Justin Jefferson. When he got into trouble, when he needed something, it was always Justin Jefferson. And I feel like Malik Nabers is kind of that for Jaden Daniels. So you know, I look at eight as a potential, you know, guy to have a really. Maybe not the biggest stat sheet game, but an impactful game. You know, maybe he catches a really important third down. Yeah. Maybe he, you know, takes a screen and really guts it out and you know, stretches for a first down, something like that.
Talk about Josh Besh. You brought him up, wide receiver, plays special teams. He's had a couple bad days in special team duties. Talk about Josh, kind of where his head is and, you know, what type of role or contribution you expect him to have.
Yeah, so I mean, Jack Besh is one of the best players on our team. I think actually, after he had that big muffed punt, Brian Kelly said in the halftime when he interviewed him at halftime, walking into the locker room, you know, they said, "What'd you tell Jack?" And he said, "I told him you're the best player on our team. We need you. Like, you know, you got to wipe this off here." So obviously, Brian Kelly has a high opinion of him. One of my best friends is a coach at Rummel in New Orleans, the big 5A high school there. And when Besh was a senior, he told me it's not even close. He's the best player in the state. I mean, and he was not very highly recruited. Before LSU, his best offer was Vanderbilt. He was committed to Vanderbilt. So I think that says a lot for him. I feel like he's struggled this year. He has battled a little bit of injury. For the past 2 weeks, he's been battling what the news has called a cranky back. Don't really know what that is, but that's kept him off the field. And he hasn't had as big of a year as maybe LSU fans, or at least I would have hoped. But he's still a big play guy. He's another kind of grinder guy. If you watched the early of the season, one of the critiques I had of Kayshon, in some ways it looked like he was quitting and he wasn't, you know, wasn't running his routes, especially if you look at the Florida State game. One of the last plays of the game, he there's a slant route thrown to him and he doesn't even see it. That's not what you get out of Jack Besh. So I like him. I do question, you know, I wonder if he's going to be 100% and wonder if he's going to, he hasn't gotten a lot of play this year. And I don't really know why that is, but he's another guy where when he touches the ball, you know, he's liable to make a play.
Yeah, you know, talent and effort, and that's, you know, again, that sort of goes into the sort of the Hallmark movie element to it, right? Talent and effort, you know, over time is going to win out. And so, you know, maybe it's not Saturday. I'm rooting for it not to be this Saturday, but there's a Saturday coming up where he's going to bust out and have, you know, have a big day because, like you said, he's got the talent. Talk about this freshman phenom wide receiver, Mason Taylor. Looks like he's got an NFL body today, just a big old tight end. Alabama's been known to struggle with that position and talented players there. What can Tide fans expect from Taylor?
Man, you know, Mason Taylor has been the one. I'm so glad you brought him up, and I think he might be an X factor. When I talked about when I broke down this game with my guys, Mason Taylor, Josh Williams, and then the two tackles, who I'm sure we'll talk about in a second. Those are kind of my keys to the offense. Mason Taylor has been incredibly good. He does not play like a freshman. He's got poise. He's very aware. He's a very smart player. You know, you see him, I've seen him multiple times really be able to catch the ball and then play with like clock awareness to, you know, whether or not, whether he needs to get his knee down in or step out, you know, kind of the little things like that, which I really like to see, especially out of a freshman. But, you know, when you realize that his dad is Jason Taylor, the, you know, basically Hall of Fame defensive end from the Miami Dolphins, kind of makes sense that he's got that pedigree. But he's really, you know, we picked up 2 years ago, we got Eric Gilbert, and it was kind of the curious case of Eric Gilbert because he was with us and then he quit. And then he went to Florida for, I think, 3 minutes. And then he quit. And then he went to Georgia. And then he was on the team this year and he hasn't signed the field. It's a weird situation, but he was the highest ranked tight end of all time by 247. People thought he was going to be like the next Calvin Johnson, you know, just a rangy, talented receiver who just happens to play tight end. I think Mason Taylor is that guy for us. He doesn't have the same body type, but I mean, when I think about him 2 years from now, I think he's going to be, you know, he's going to be like a Kyle Pitts. He's going to be one of our main weapons. And I'm just excited to see him, you know, let's see how he plays against probably some of the, you know, probably the best defense he's played all year, you know, in Alabama. But I'm excited for him. I think I think he could have a big game. And I think if he does have a big game, that's good for LSU.
Yeah, I need to talk to Saban about how he wasn't able to bring in Mason Taylor because he coached his daddy at for the Dolphins. So I don't know how he wasn't able to pull him in. So. But he's certainly a talented player. Let's talk about that offensive line. Now, you know, when I look at the roster and I look at, you know, a version of what I think the starters might be, it looks like a lot of underclassmen and transfers on the offensive line. And typically that can go a couple different ways, right? You got a lot of, well, not underclassmen, but upperclassmen, but a lot of transfers. And so, you know, are we looking at maybe a really cohesive unit, or is this sort of patchwork with a lot of transfers, which is sort of winning that dial there?
I mean, it's not cohesive in the same way that maybe the 19 one was, where, you know, the guys had played together and maybe, you know, you swap in and out. One guy was the main starter last year, but he kind of lost out. Now he's the swing man.
Yeah,
but it's generally the same group. It's not really the case with this group. I mean, like you said, you got two true freshmen at tackles, Will Campbell and Emory Jones. You got two tackles who are both freshmen, and Will Campbell and Emory Jones, not the quarterback from Florida, former quarterback from Florida, but they are. I mean, they're very talented, and you know they've done a great job so far. But I mean, they're freshmen, and I mean, when I think about these two going up against probably the best player in college football right now, Will Anderson, and then a guy who I think every other team in America would gladly have as their number one edge rusher in Dallas Turner on the other side, it scares me. Not necessarily because of a talent thing, but just because they're freshmen, and they, you know, a year ago they were playing in LHSAA high school playoffs right now. Then, like you said, you know, you've got some transfers like Miles Frazier and Tremon Schwartz. You know, those are we've had some good luck, especially with Frazier, as far as you know, he was a highly rated transfer out of FIU, Florida International, I believe. And so, you know, he's done well, but overall our offensive line has been a challenge. And, you know, that's why you've seen Jaden Daniels have to scramble so much. I think that it's probably 60% by choice, but 40% because he's also kind of running for his life a little bit.
But
I guess, you know, that does the fact that he's got wheels, that Daniels has wheels, kind of gives our offensive line a little bit of a reprieve, because, you know, you might not just rush because if you break contain a little bit, he could spring loose and go off for 60. So I think that helps us a little bit, the more dimensionality of our offense, you know, being able to, and that, to be honest, they've done a very good job. I mean, especially against Ole Miss, against Florida, the offensive line, along with most of the team, but offensive line a lot in particular, have gotten better game after game. And I think some of that cohesive nature you're talking about, they're not cohesive right off the out of the box, because it's just so many new pieces. But I think, and this is a testament to Brad Davis, who I love. I've listened to him talk multiple times, and he's the offensive line coach for LSU. I think it shows how good he is as a coach, because he's been able to put the pieces together and really coach them up as a group. And I think I've seen, you know, a quality improvement, but they're not the best. They're not going to be the best. I'm sure Will Anderson will be able to get his. So don't worry, Tide fans.
Well, let's flip the field and talk LSU defense. Talk about the scheme that Kelly is running there. I was trying to sort of back into it, and BJ Olajuwon. Ojulari. I see him as a defensive end. I see him as a jack, and so I'm torn. Are you guys running a 3-3-5 or more of a 4-2-5, or how's what do you typically see?
I mean, I think that in that house said it when he kind of came in. You know, it's multiple. He kind of wants to do everything, which I guess, you know, I think most teams these days are. You kind of have to be multiple. Yeah. And that was a challenge that I think that Orgeron, when he hired, that was something that really hurt LSU when they hired Pelini.
Yes.
Because Pelini came in and he said, I want to be 4-5. And everybody said, well, this isn't 2004. You know, we have players like, we got Bryce Young at quarterback. You can't do that. Right. So, we're going to be multiple. I mean, Ojulari, you know, like you said, he's kind of the do-it-all guy. He's what we kind of think about is maybe our Will Anderson. He can kind of do it in coverage. He can hold his own in coverage. He can rush the passer. He can play run support. He can take on a block. He's a great guy. And he's also, you know, he's number 18. So he's the leader. He's the guy who's been here and kind of is expected to be rally the troops on defense. I think that another one to look for, kind of at the same position, you'll see him come in and I think, you know, a lot of LSU fans are hoping you'll see a lot of him for years to come, is Harold Perkins.
Yep.
Number 40. I mean, it might just be because he wears 40, but he looks just like Devin White, man. I mean, and he's a freshman out of Houston, Texas, which he was the big kind of, when we talked about Kelly, when LSU got him, when she was a consensus five-star, one of the highest rated players in this class, I think that's when LSU fans realized, okay, wait, we have something here. Kelly is, he's for real. He's going to recruit, and he's going to be able to get the big ones. And Harold Perkins has truly lived up to those five stars. You know, I think that for LSU to have a chance in this game, he's got to have a big game. Kind of, he's not an every down player at this point because he's a true freshman. He's very raw. He's great rushing the passer. He's very athletic. So he's probably better in coverage if he has to be than Ojulari. And he can play Mike. He can play Will. And he can play Sam. But I think that he's at this point, he's best as that pass rusher kind of hybrid type guy. Another one who I really, really like on the defensive side of the ball is the safety Jay Ward. Number 5, he'll kind of go back and forth between free safety and maybe a nickel, kind of a, you know, nebulous position, but he's about as close, I think, as we've gotten to one of those real hard hitting LSU safeties of the past, like a Craig Brooks or a, well, take your pick. I mean, DBU, I guess.
Talk about the secondary. Would you consider that a strength of the defense? There is a lot of, I mean, some transfers, a lot of upperclassmen. How's that unit sort of coming together?
I think you said it's coming together. I wouldn't say it's a strength at this point.
Okay.
I think that our corners are good, not great. I think that they're not to the level that necessarily me as an LSU fan hopes to be. You know, when I think about LSU corners, I think about LSU DBs. You know, I really hope that we have some of the top ones because we've been accustomed to it. I mean, all the way back to Patrick Peterson, to Tyrann Mathieu, to Therald Simon. You know, there are even some of the guys who, you know, you might not know on Sundays, but like a guy like Therald Simon, who was an excellent corner here. We're not at that point yet, but we do have, I think that the safety position is very good for us right now. I like our safeties a lot. Like I said, with Jay Ward, I really like Greg Brooks. Greg Brooks is the transfer out of Arkansas. He plays a true strong safety, kind of right in the slot. And he's an electric player. You're Tyrann Mathieu-esque might be like saying, oh, he's like, he's Derrick Henry-esque. You don't want to go that far.
Right.
But he's the kind of guy where he's a ball hawk, and he's been shown to, you know, when you need a pick or you need a fumble, a forced fumble, or you need something big, he's been there. I mean, he's a good leader on the team too. So I really like him. You know, Makai Garner and Bernard Converse and Jarek Bernard Converse are going to be guys who you see at corner. I think they're good. I don't think they're great. I don't think that they're a Derek Singler or even an Eli Ricks, like we're, right. You know, like y'all are going to be starting. So that is something that, I think corner is a little bit of weakness for us, but I think for us, it matches up well. Cause I don't know if this is a little bit of a down year for Alabama as far as true wide receivers go.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it really is. You know, we talked about it on our most recent podcast, and there was an article that sort of spawned sort of the concept. Does Alabama have a true number one receiver? And it sounds like a dumb question, but it's annoying because it's spot on. If you go by yardage, and then you go by number of catches, and then you go by, you know, average catch, and then you go by touchdown, and sort of every metric that, you know, we have a different guy. You know, who's played the most snaps, who's caught the most balls, who gets targeted the most, everything. It's a different guy. And so it's frustrating because if we could consolidate that a little bit, but on the other hand, it's a little bit of a loose cannon because any number of guys, and the frustration is you don't know who it's going to be, which it'd be helpful if we knew who it would be, you know, then we could sort of game plan for it. But I think week to week, we don't know who, you know, has the most potential to sort of explode. And then some weeks, none of them do. And that's no fun either. So, but that's how that plays out. Well, let's do this. Let's finish up with, wrap up the spirit in Baton Rouge. You know, 2022 is sort of the COVID makeup year, right?
Yeah.
We went to Knoxville a couple of weeks ago, didn't have all that good of a time, but it was the first time we had been there, you know, since before, you know, last time was COVID, right? And so it was the first time we had been where it was the full stadium, the full throat, the full excitement, and it was a team that had something to play for. Well, we're coming to Baton Rouge Saturday, and it's same but different. You guys have a lot to play for, and it's going to be, you know, packed house, and there's always a little extra when Saban brings the team to town. So talk about sort of the makeup of the city and the fan base and the level of excitement for Saturday's game.
You know, Baton Rouge is a different city during football season. And it's a very different city when LSU is competitive. And, you know, the past 2 years, the energy has just been down, rightfully so. I think you're right. you know, it's going to be probably the biggest, or no, it will be the biggest game we played all year as far as, you know, fans. It's going to be a night game. It's going to be a prime time on ESPN. Everything kind of you want in this big matchup. I'm excited for it. I will say, and I think that the general, you know, I would say, I don't know if many LSU fans feel like, oh yeah, we're going to run away with it. You know, I think that most people recognize that at this point we're kind of playing with house money. Kelly has overperformed in a lot of games. You know, I think there are a lot of people who early in the season would have said, well, we very well could lose to Florida. We could lose, and we probably will lose to Ole Miss. And, you know, we haven't. Aside from the Florida State game, I think pretty much everything has gone pretty optimistically. Mm-hmm. And you know, you talk about Tennessee, which you're right. Like it was a bad loss for us, but I don't think anybody, and as you watch Tennessee play can, you know, for the rest of this year, I don't think that's not a terrible loss when you look at it with right. their body of work. You know, they might be the number one team in the country. I still have questions about them, but you can't argue that they're not a very, very good team. No. And, you know, on paper, talent wise, this is their time, and they were better than LSU. They're better than LSU. You know, we're not there yet. And so, yeah, I'm excited for it. What I'm really hoping for, I do not necessarily, and maybe I'm a bad LSU podcaster for saying it. I don't expect us to win, but you know, like I'd be very happy with a cover from LSU. I think the line is like 13 points right now, kind of, you know, tiptoeing around there. Because I think that shows that we can get on the field kind of with one hand tied behind our back. Because I don't think this is the best talent that we'll be able to put together. And I think that what you're seeing right now, the success we're seeing, is due to coaching. I don't think the success here is all talent, and that's a good sign for me, because I've seen over the years we've been able to have a lot of success, really from what in retrospect probably seems like talent only. You know, when you think about the 19 season, and then you kind of realize what Orgeron did in his whole body of work as head coach at LSU, it was really one good year. It's kind of the Gene Chizik effect.
Yep.
That's talent. And you can go back and you can look at the same thing with like the 07 team that won. You know, that everybody always says that was Saban's class. That's talent. So I'm excited to see, you know, if Kelly can elevate this group. It's a talented group. By no means am I, you know,
sure,
down on my own team, but it's not elite. And so imagine, you know, I'm excited for, let's get a few more elite players in here and see what we can do.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's you know, I like what Kelly's doing. He's clearly building the program. Just the trajectory over the course of this season alone, I've seen more progress, you know, from LSU this season than sometimes you see from a new coach at a school over multiple seasons. And so that's certainly telling. And it is exciting. He's got something to show as well as talk to when he hits the recruiting trail. And it is a compelling message. Wait till I get my guys in here, like a full go of it. You know, that's going to be quite interesting. Tommy, I'm going to tell you, I love talking LSU football with you. I love getting together and doing this. I wish you a little bit of luck the rest of the season. I wish you a lot of luck the rest of the season. Saturday, you know, good game. Nobody get hurt. You know, we've got rooting interest Saturday. But, Tommy, I so appreciate you joining us and having the opportunity to learn a little bit more about the LSU Tigers.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me. It's great to be on. And it's always a pleasure. Just let me know when you want to do it again.
Fantastic. Thanks, Tommy. We appreciate you. Take care. And we're back. Now, I told you that was a really good interview. Hope you certainly enjoyed that. And I'm going to do this. I try not to promote our insider sort of support group very often, not all the time, but I'm going to pump it today. And I'm going to tell you why. Tommy and I had a phenomenal conversation a little bit before and like a whole lot after the interview. And so just organically, we got on the line and we just started talking and then we did the show and then we got off from the recording and we talked a whole lot more. And he had some questions about Alabama and so we talked about that maybe 20 minutes, maybe not quite that long, but there's a whole sort of unofficial raw version of a part two that we're not going to publish here, but we do publish that to our support team. And so every time we record, before we send it to the publisher to get sort of the fancy package version that we push out, we pump out a we call it a raw version. And so it's really just unedited. It has every time that I kind of screw up in a recording and all that good stuff. I talk to the group a little bit in there, and all of that is available, and it's part of our support package. And so it's worth it, I think, for the additional sort of content. And this is a great example. If you enjoyed that interview and the conversation that Tommy and I had there, there's probably about 20 more minutes of that that's available in the raw version. So hop over, join the support team, and you'll get immediate access to that. All right, enough shill. I certainly hope you enjoyed the interview. Tommy is a great advocate for the Tigers, and certainly a great buddy to talk football with. And we're already thinking about maybe trying to do something this offseason. So looking forward to that as well. With that, that's a wrap. This has been another edition of the Alabama Football Podcast. Roll Tide. Thanks for listening to the Alabama Football Podcast. We love that you're tuned in and hope that you enjoyed the show. We encourage you to reach out and let us know what you like, where we can improve, or just to shout out a Roll Tide. We are where you are. iTunes, Facebook, Twitter, email newsletters, t-shirts, free roster downloads, and of course, on the web at alabamafootballpodcast.com. Check us out where you'll find easy links to your favorite way to follow the Tide. Got that, Coach? Of course. Roll Tide.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Get all the Masterforce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with Masterforce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more, find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with Masterforce power equipment at Menards. Save